Well, last week we looked at forgiveness in Matthew 6:12. I'm not going to review that for sake of time, but let's move on to Matthew 6:13. That's our verse for today, Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this is a real fitting verse, particularly when you couple it with what we did talk about last week with forgiveness. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, pray hard. And pray hard that you will be forgiven, but not only that, but also pray that you don't go back to what you're asking the Lord to forgive you from. You don't want to go back to that sin again. Your sins have been forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus at Calvary. You are blessed that you have received amazing grace that the Lord offers. You have been redeemed from the bondage of sin, and you're no longer, as Christians, enslaved by it. And so now that we're overwhelmed by the love of our Heavenly Father and by the gracious sacrifice of our Savior, let us now pray that we won't continue in sin, but rather we would be sanctified. Now, you and I will continue to struggle with sin in this life, and that's grievous to us. The devil and the world are strong, but he no longer has a stronghold on your life. Terry Johnson writes, "So I'm absolutely certain of one thing, that I never want to go back there again. May I never be like those who were again entangled in the defilements of the world. May I never be like the dog who returns to his vomit, 2 Peter 2, or abhor what is evil and am clinging for dear life to what is good, Romans 12:9. Consequently, I plead and I beg the Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And what he did in his book, Terry Johnson, is he really broke this chapter and this verse into two sections, two categories, if you will. One is, we have to first of all acknowledge our entire dependence upon God, our entire dependence upon God. But then secondly, we also have to acknowledge that God is the Lord of our circumstances. So first, in this sixth petition, we are acknowledging our entire dependence upon God. We recognize that we are not our own, but we belong to the Lord. When I was studying this week, it reminded me of the first question of the Heidelberg Catechism. What is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer is that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And of course, that was taken from 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And we've already seen in our study of the Lord's Prayer, particularly 2 weeks ago with verse 11, that we are dependent upon God for everything. We pray to Him for our daily bread, for Him to meet our material, physical, temporal needs. And He not only does that, but He also provides salvation, something that we could not provide for ourselves. We couldn't atone for our sins, right? And so He not only gives to us physically what we need, but He also gives to us spiritually what we need. Thus, we are dependent. That's the word here, is we are dependent upon the Lord for our needs, including our spiritual needs. And as we think about that spiritual dependence, we need to be reminded of how continually we need it. We continue to need, day by day, God's sustaining grace, for we are weak, poor, and miserable sinners. Jesus tells Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And what did they do? They fell into temptation, right? They fell asleep. Even in the presence of Jesus, they did so. And so it shows how weak we are, how frail we are as humans. And so we must always be watching and praying so we are not inclined to give into temptation. The old hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," rings true here. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. We're continually submitting ourselves to the Lord and are dependent upon Him so that we can avoid temptation. Well, Terry Johnson writes, listen to this, it's very important. Point at any particular sin and we can say, there but the grace of God, so I. there but for the grace of God. So I would do that apart from the grace of God. We are strong only as we realize our weakness and our inability and consequently put all our trust and confidence in Christ. Now, we may recognize particular sins in someone else's life. Have y'all done that? And our first fleshly temptation might be to judge and to think, oh, how could they do that? I would never do that. Well, instead of that being our first thought should be again, there but for the grace of God, so I would also do that. You see, we're never above the possibility of any sin. We're never above the possibility of any sin. So realizing this, the strong Christian pays particular notice of this sixth petition and pleads, Lord, please lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from all evil. You know, we saw Paul was afflicted with a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And what did he pray? Lord, please remove it from me, if it be thy will. And Lord, the Lord in his providence chose not to remove it. And so Paul realized and recognized that God had a higher purpose in not removing the thorn. And certainly one of those was that Paul would see his own weakness. And so that he would also, through that weakness, also see God's power working through him. Johnson writes helpfully, this is part of the central message of this sixth petition, the awareness of weakness and consequent dependence upon God lies behind this sixth petition. And this awareness drives us to our knees, keenly aware of the responsibility and, keenly aware of our vulnerability, praying, Lord, please lead me not into temptation. And we keep watching and we keep praying. So the question becomes, are we doing that? Are we praying that the Lord would deliver us from temptation? Are we continually depending upon Him? Are we aware of our dependence upon the Lord? Are we aware of our weaknesses? Well, secondly, we are acknowledging in this petition that God is the Lord of all circumstances. We've seen in previous lessons that God is sovereign over all. And He orders all things according to His counsel and perfect and pleasing will. And so Jesus is teaching us here in this verse, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Now, we realize from our study on spiritual warfare, when we looked at that several months ago, that the Lord doesn't cause you to sin, right? He doesn't tempt you. And that's because He's perfectly holy. However, He does allow or permit, if you will, for us to encounter tests and trials to cause us to persevere in our faith. For example, we see in James 1, 2, 3, 4, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So in other words, what he's saying here is the fruit that comes from trials, namely perseverance and steadfastness, help prove our justification. So the fruits justify our justification, if we could put it that way. And so there's a point to God allowing trials in our life. Johnson writes, there is value in this. He does say, however, we ought not to seek trials. We ought to seek the opposite. We ought to no more seek trials than a football team ought to seek close games. You learn a lot from close, hard-fought games, but your aim ought to be to annihilate the opposition. A coach shouldn't say to his team, all right, man, let's go out and play as close as we can so that we can learn a lot. Of course not. You play to beat the opposition on every play and to win big. Well, so we do in the Christian life. We play to win big, and we're trying to win big over our adversary, namely Satan. This, of course, involves putting on the whole armor of God, which we already talked about the last several months. But in the context of this petition of the Lord's Prayer, we're also praying that He would protect us, that He would protect us from tempting circumstances. Look, we all have our weak areas where we are more likely to be tempted. For some, there are places that we should not go. Perhaps it's a convenience store that has pornographic material. For others, it may be necessary to avoid stores where we become discontent with what we have. And we walk in this store and we see that shiny boat, or we see this and we want that. For others, it may be not going down the liquor aisle in the grocery store. The point is that we need to avoid those places in which we are tempted. But for others, there are people with whom we need to be careful of and should not associate, lest they lead us into temptation. This may be perhaps old friends that we used to associate with before turning to Christ. This could also apply to family members. Perhaps the influence of certain people, family or not, could be toxic and even harmful to our walk with the Lord. Paul warns us, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. 2 Corinthians 15:33. You know, we teach our kids this, right? In terms of who to select as friends and who to be careful of. But what about for us? This is a verse for us too. We need to be careful of who we're around. There may be some people, for example, who tempt us to use vulgar language or who tempt us to gossip. But we need to be careful and put boundaries, particularly around those toxic relationships, and rather pursue, I would say prioritize, relationships and seek out people who will encourage your walk with the Lord and will spur you on to godliness. But thirdly, there may also be products that you need to avoid. So we have people, places, and products, but sometimes products are also a snare. Maybe it's foods where you're given into gluttonous, or maybe it's an app on your phone that you're spending too much time on, causing you to neglect other responsibilities. Maybe it's the television or certain TV shows or movies that you need to put away for a while. Maybe do a media fast. Point is that we need to understand ourselves enough to know where we are vulnerable to temptation and work to avoid those places, people, products, so we will not be tempted and we can live for God's glory. So we are praying in this petition, Lord, keep us from circumstances, we could say, that we in which we might succumb to temptation. Well, in the second part of this sixth petition, we are also praying that the Lord would deliver us, that He would deliver us from evil. The Shorter Catechism, I love what it says on this, says that in this sixth petition, we are praying that God would either keep us from being tempted to sin, or in the second part of it, that He would support and deliver us when we are tempted. Commentators debate over the word, the meaning of the word evil. Are we saying that He would deliver us from evil or that He would deliver us from the evil one? Regardless, we are praying in this part of the Lord's prayers, we find ourselves in tempting circumstances that the Lord would see fit to deliver us out of it. This is, if I could put it this way, this is a search and rescue mission from the Lord. And we're praying for that. Lord, that You would rescue me from troubling situations and temptations. Realize, dear believer, there is no temptation that will ever come upon you that with the help of the Holy Spirit you can't resist. Why is that? Because of what Scripture says, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Now, are we going to give in to temptation at times? Yes, but I'm saying there's no temptation that will ever come upon you that you cannot, with the Spirit's help, say no to. See, God always provides a way of escape. This is important to teach, again, in our parenting. When your child comes in and says something like this, "But Daddy, I can't help it," you can say to that child, if that child is a Christian, "Oh no, you actually can, because you have the Holy Spirit in you." And our Father is telling us that too as we go to Him. "Lord, I'm sorry I messed up again, but..." No, He doesn't want to hear the buts. He wants to just you come in humble contrition to Him, asking for forgiveness, asking for deliverance from temptation and from evil. And He is faithful. And He also says, you have the Holy Spirit in you. So you actually are, as you're being further and further sanctified, you are able to not sin. Now, again, it won't be till the state of glorification when we're with Him that we're not able to sin. It's impossible to sin in heaven. However, in this life, you can, with the Spirit's help, say no to sin. The Lord delights in delivering His people out of sin and rescuing them from us. So the question then becomes, well, how does He deliver us from evil? How does He deliver us from temptations? Well, Johnson summarizes in three ways. One, by strengthening us to overcome the temptation. You know, the whole story with David and Potiphar's wife, for example. David just fled. Sometimes we just got to flee, right? What was that? Joseph. What did I say? Joseph. Sorry. I'm recognizing my time is at, I almost said at close. I'm trying to rush. So Joseph. Thank you. I was testing you. And what did he do? He fled, right? And so there's times when He strengthens us and He gives us the resolve, again, through the help of the Holy Spirit, to overcome the temptation. Secondly, He may remove the temptation from us. He may strike the person, for example, who is tempting you, or He may destroy the place or remove the place or the product from you. Thirdly, He may remove us from that tempting circumstance. Maybe it's sickness or accidents. We don't know. And it may seem like troubling and trying times when the Lord does that, but we can trust in His sovereign will as, we continue to remain utterly dependent upon Him. R.C. Sproul concludes his chapter on this important part of the Lord's Prayer, and this is where we'll conclude today. I often ask myself how I would measure up if God allowed me to be severely tested. I honestly don't know, and I don't want to have to find out. So I often pray this petition of the Lord's Prayer, asking specifically, O Lord, please, please, keep that hedge around me. Don't put me in that place of testing. Deliver me from the evil one who goes about like a roaring lion, ready to devour whomever he will. I pray for divine protection from all the forces of evil that surround us. And I believe this petition should be on every believer's lips every day. Well, may it be so. Let's pray. God in heaven, we are fully aware as we think about the context of this lesson today, how utterly dependent we are upon you. We thank you for your saving grace. We thank you for that sustaining grace that we need day by day to resist the snares of the evil one. And Father, we pray that you would deliver us from him, that you would keep us from temptation. Help us, even in our own individual lives this week, to identify where our weak areas are. And Lord, would you help us to wholly submit that to you, that you might do a great work through each one of us, through the Holy Spirit. Help us to say no to temptation. Keep evil far, far away from us. Grow us in holiness, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.